Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to 1 Corinthians tonight and the very first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. You know, sometimes, you know, I feel for Paul with the church at Corinth and all the issues that they had, but, you know, but then there's times I'm saying, well, thank God we got a lot of revelation because of all the things he had to deal with at the church at Corinth, you know. And we learn a lot of things. And you know, at least they were hungry, you know. They were hungry. They were carnal, but they were hungry. And hopefully they got straightened out. They lived in a pretty carnal area of the world, so some of that was still with them, you know. They had to, you have to have your mind renewed, amen. Yeah. This evening, let's go to 1 Corinthians, pardon me, chapter 1. Let me get a drink here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's go to verse 9. And this is the King James that says, God is faithful. You know, the Bible says that about God a lot, that he's faithful. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Everybody say, called unto fellowship. Or you may say called into fellowship. It's, you know, it's the same thing. We're called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so tonight, I just want to talk about this for a little while, about the value of fellowship. Amen. You know, and I'm talking about fellowshipping with God. You know, I'm not just talking about fellowshipping with one another. That's valuable, but I'm going to talk about the fellowship with God. Amen. And what that means and how valuable it is, because here's what, you know, when I first got saved, in those days, we were taught the value of fellowshipping with God. It was something that was emphasized, and we were taught that as Christians, we needed to do that. We needed to spend time with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. And so that was something that was, and so you'll hear that come out of me a lot, maybe, and maybe you get tired of that, but it's just part of who I am. And that's what I was taught. And it's right. It's the Bible. And so it helped me a lot, you know, just especially in those beginning days to get a foundation underneath me. And, you know, one of the reasons why after 4 months I was out preaching the gospel. Now, I still had a lot to learn, believe me. But yet, you know, God had, he had seen my hunger and trusted me and opened doors for me after 4 months of just, you know, I'm still 4 months. I mean, that's not very old in the Lord. You're not even supposed to know where the books of the Bible are at yet, you know. And some people, you know, they haven't found a lot of things yet. But, you know, that wasn't with me, man. I was after it. I was hungry for God. And so, you know, we were taught that fellowship, you know, was our number one calling in life. And that, you sure, we had other things that we were supposed to do for God, and they were important. But everything that we did for God came out of this time of fellowship. If it was going to have any anointing on it, we was going to have to get with the one that had the anointing. And so if we were going to be successful in whatever we did, whether it was to go out and witness to people, whether it was, like, you know, in my case, to be a minister of the gospel or whatever it might be, that if we fellowship with God, we'd get power from him and anointing from him, and it would enhance that. And it caused us to be a success. Right. Amen. Amen. And so thank God in those days, preachers fellowshiped with the Lord. Amen. Now, I tell you, that's changed a lot. There's a lot of preachers today that they just, you know, basically preach, you know, leftovers. You know what I'm saying? And there's not much power to it. There's not much refreshing to it. There's not much anointing on it, you know. And the sad thing about it is, and this isn't true with you guys, but the sad thing about it is a lot of the church doesn't even know the difference now. Right. Yeah. They don't even realize God's not even that church any longer. Right. Because they never have experienced him enough to know. It's kind of like, you know, it's like I've told Phyllis before, we'll all eat a chicken sandwich or chicken nugget somewhere, you know, some of the healthy food for you. You know what I'm talking about. And Phyllis would go, well, was it good? I said, well, it would be if I hadn't already had Chick-fil-A. I said, once you had Chick-fil-A, nobody's chicken sandwich is good any longer. Now, that's just my opinion, okay? And I'm not working for Chick-fil-A. I don't even go there very often. It's, you know, I just don't. You know, Phyllis does every day. Monday through Friday if we're in town. But I don't. You know, I don't go there very often. You know, so I'm not plugging for Chick-fil-A. I'm just making a point. Like I bought some chicken nuggets from, you know, from someplace, and I cooked them. She said, were they good? I said, they were some of the better ones I've had. But once you've had Chick-fil-A, none of them compare. Well, when you've had the presence of God, nothing else compares. You're not really all caught up in everything else. You know what I'm saying? That people get involved in church today, and they think, isn't it wonderful? Man, we got the best coffee in town. Well, great. I'm glad you got good coffee, but I'd rather have the anointing than your coffee. Amen. We'll say, Pastor, did you know you can have both? Yes, I do. Sometimes I have good coffee and the anointing. Amen. But you understand that we just had this teaching. We were just taught that you need to fellowship with God on a regular basis and really on a daily basis. You know, the Bible talked about God said, I'll rain manna down from heaven for you every day. Every day I'll rain manna down from heaven. And so, you know, there's that daily raining of manna that we're just supposed to go out and, you know, like the Israelites would go out and get a certain quota every day. We're supposed to get our manna every day. And we were taught these things, and we practiced these things. And we had some power, and we had some anointing and so forth, and the blessing of God on our life, because everything flows out of that. Everything flows out. Everything good flows out of that. Let's just say it that way. Everything good flows out of your fellowship time with God. And I'm going to deal with some issues I think will help us tonight, you know, understand why sometimes, you know, that our lives aren't going the way they ought to be going. It's because we're not really hooking in to the source. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me, the same will bring forth much fruit. So you have to have that connection with him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. So that connection with the vine, you know what I'm saying? Once you cut the limb off the tree, the limb's going to die. Now, it looks alive for a little bit, but, you know, a day or two, it doesn't look that good. Amen. And so we have to understand that, you know, that, well, just like in the book of Acts, you know, this is really, and, you know, I don't know how we're going to get back to this, but we need to, but this is really what the apostles said about their ministry. You know, they said, it's not right for us to take care of the business. We'll point people over this, and we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Now, what does that mean? We're going to spend our days praying and studying the Word and getting ready to preach the Word. It's no wonder they had a church that had power. What if we got back to that? You know, and there's some things going to have to change and work around for us to get back to that, but it needs to get back to that. Amen. 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 You know what I'm saying? You know, and so it's like today we've kind of lost that, but we got to get back to this fellowship thing. Amen. God, yeah, actually, when you think about that, God made man in his own image, didn't he? After his own likeness. Now, there had to be a reason why he did that. That was, I believe, the reason is because he wanted fellowship. See, you know, people have their pets, and, you know, and I know Fluffy's the greatest thing that's happened in your life and all since you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, Fluffy came along. I mean, that's the greatest thing. Well, I love animals. Don't misunderstand me. I'm an animal lover, you know. If we weren't gone like we are, I'd probably have a dog. Really, I probably would, but if Phyllis would let me. And, but you know, my dream, really, I have a dream. I've got a dream. Amen. I got a dream that someday I'm going to have a place with maybe an acre or two, and it's going to kind of be out a little bit by itself. And I'm going to have an outbuilding that's heated and air conditioned. I'm going to have about 5 dogs and 5 cats, you know. And, you know, they can live in the building. You know what I'm saying? And, it, you know, in the summertime, they can go in there and cool off. The wintertime, that's going to be their building, mine and their building. And you know what I'm saying? Because I just, you know, I do. I like dogs. I like, you know, when I'm out walking and somebody walks by with their dog, I'll ask them, can I pet your dog? I always ask first. You know, I don't just assume they want you to touch their dog or that their dog wants you to touch it. You know, and so I always ask, can I pet your dog, you know, and I love animals, you know, but you know, you got to admit, you know, there's only so much fellowship can happen there.
Come on.
Now, I know you go out and buy, you know, a little radar, ice cream cone and all that and everything else and take him through Starbucks and get a, you know, you get your coffee and get him a little thing of whipped cream and all everything. That's cool. But you know what? Listen, you're not having fellowship with him like you have fellowship with a person. Right. I mean, he doesn't come home and tell you how his day was. Oh, man, I tell you what, man, I chased 12 cars today. Yeah, you know, they're so only limited. Why? Because you're not in the same likeness.
Right.
You're not in the same image.
Right.
But God made us in his image so he could fellowship with us. Now, man, when Adam sinned, he broke fellowship with God. See, sin, you know, even as a Christian, sin doesn't, you know, when you sin, it doesn't do away with your relationship, but it does do away with your fellowship. It does hinder your fellowship. And that's why God's made a provision for us to repent, to confess it, and then get cleansed of it so we're back in fellowship. You know, that's true in a marriage. I mean, you do something that's, you transgress one another, you break fellowship. Right? Don't you hate those, like, days of silence? I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. Oh, yeah, you do. You know, well, you're not talking to one another because fellowship got broke. You said something stupid or did something stupid and you broke fellowship, or maybe you both did or whatever. Well, the same thing's true with God. It's not that God's miffed with you and he's not going to talk to you and all that, but there's a break in the fellowship and your heart's condemning you, and you know that. And so you don't have the fellowship that you did have. But it doesn't do away with your relationship. It just does away with your fellowship. Well, when Adam sinned, he broke fellowship. God created a fellowship with him. The Bible says that God came down and they walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that, having God come down as he waited till it cooled off? And then he came down. Well, that's what the Bible says, you know. And so it came down in fellowship. But when Adam sinned, now you notice that got broke. See, his quality of life began to diminish. I just believe this for us to, we're created in the image and likeness of God, and through sin, man fell. But Jesus Christ came back and redeemed us and got us back into fellowship. And for us to stay in that image and likeness, to portray that, we have to stay in fellowship with God. And when we do, We stay in that image and likeness of God. And I know that's true in my life. The more I fellowship with God, the more I act like God. The less I fellowship with him, the more I act like me. Am I the only one that happens, right? You know, you meet people like, don't talk to me till I have my coffee. Is anybody like that? Nobody's going to admit. Have you ever heard people that don't talk to me till I have my coffee, you know? And so, but no, Phyllis never drinks coffee, so if she was that way, I could never talk to her. But, you know, I drink coffee, but I don't have to have it to be in a good mood, you know. But I am, you know, I got to have my fellowship with the Lord or I start getting an edge on me. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you know, then you start acting like yourself, and that's not good. Amen? Come on, is anybody listening to me tonight? So we have to, you know, if we're going to stay in the image of God, we're going to have to fellowship with him. See, everything, and this is what we were taught years ago, and it's still true, everything needs to flow out of that. You find that in Acts chapter 13, where the Bible says there were certain prophets and teachers at the church at Antioch, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said something. He said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And then they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. So that all came out of that fellowship time when they were fellowship with God. God spoke, and I just noticed this. You know, I can't take credit for this. I heard this many years ago, and I went and looked through the Bible, and a guy said this. I'd give him credit if I could remember who it was, but it's been so long ago, I don't remember who it was now. But he said, you know, actually he preached a message, and he titled it, While They Were Praying. And he just went through the book of Acts, and he said, now look what happened while they were praying. And I noticed while they were praying, they had visitations. They had power. And so, you know, I just went through the book of Acts and noticed that, you know, whenever, you know, like Peter's on the housetop praying, he falls into a trance. You know, they're in the upper room praying, then the Holy Spirit comes in and baptizes them. You know, they're praying for Peter to get released, and the next thing you know, an angel comes and gets him out of prison. And you just find that in the book of Acts while they were praying. Paul, after a long abstinence, you know, he's praying on that ship when that ship's in that storm. And after a long abstinence of him being with God, he comes out and says, "Sirs, you should have listened to me and not have done this. But the Lord showed me there, an angel appeared to me and said that, fear not, Paul, you know, for you know, I'm going to give you your life and everybody on the ship." And he said, "Sirs, I believe it'll be as it was said to me." Well, where did he get that? He was praying. He was, in other words, he was doing something spiritual. It didn't say, and I'm not against this, but it didn't say while they were watching football, you know, Peter fell into a trance. I'm not against football. I like football. While they were watching Andy Griffith, you know, the Holy Ghost said. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but after he preached on that, I thought about that, and I thought about all the incidents in the book of Acts. They were associated with prayer, you know. So it was like fellowshipping with the Lord. So I thought, man, praise God, that's revealing right there. So everything good that we have, it comes out of fellowship, all right? Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 1, because I want to show you something here that John said about this, about fellowshipping with the Lord. 1 John chapter 1. Come on, are you out there tonight?
Amen.
All right, now, these are things that, some of the things that we were taught, I'm beginning to realize we need to go back and reteach them. Because some people that maybe just, you know, haven't been serving the Lord, they haven't heard them. And, you know, it's like Phyllis has told me before. She says, you know, she hasn't said this often, but she said it before. She says, sometimes you got to explain what you're saying because you just preach like everybody knows what you're talking about, you know, in certain things, you know. And sometimes they don't. They just don't. And they hadn't heard it. They don't know it. You're not even thinking about it. You just think, because I know it. Everybody knows it because everybody's smarter than I am, so they got to know it. And I found out there are three or four people that are dumber than me in this life, and so maybe they don't know it. And so you have to. You know what I'm saying? They don't just get it by osmosis. You got to teach it. Amen. Now, in 1 John chapter 1, look at this. John said, "That which was from the beginning..." Well, I mean, we know who that was, right? That's Jesus. That's the Word. "Which we have heard, which we have seen, our eyes have looked upon, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the Word of life." I mean, we actually touched the Word of life. Wow. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us." And notice this, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So he's talking about fellowshipping with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ here. Now notice verse 4. He said, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Well, think about it. If your joy, how many know if your joy can be full, then your joy can be half full. In other words, there's a gauge on it. You know. How many know what full means in your vehicle? How many know what E means? How many have ever discovered what E means? Anybody ever run out of gas? Yeah, you know, I used to have an uncle, Mom will know who I'm talking about. He made a habit of it. I've only ran out of gas one time, and but you know that gauge is there for a reason, right? It's warning you. You know what I'm saying? It's like when that dings, ding, ding, ding. You really need to pay attention to that because that means something. And so when our joy level is like ding, 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 we need to pay attention. That means something. We need to pull over and fill up. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? You know, see, I don't know about you, but I you know, sometimes I've pushed it traveling, you know, and then I start getting nervous. I remember one time years ago when we went out to Wyoming, you know, you would go into some of those places and it would say, you know, last stop for 50 miles. And, you know, you'd think, you know, being stupid, you'd think, ah, I can't be that far. And you learn real quick, you better pay attention because they mean it. So it's like if you got a potty and you don't want to use a bush or you don't have enough gas, you're in trouble. Amen? Kind of like going from here on 64 to Louisville. You know, there's not all that much, you know, to stop at. But the thing of it is there's if our joy can be full, that means our joy can be less than full. And the way we fill it up, John said, is by fellowship. That's how our joy gets full, is by fellowship. Well, I just don't have time. Well, listen, it just, you know, it comes down to this. It's just how well do you want to live life? I didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven if you didn't fellowship with the Lord. You'll go to heaven, but you're going to miss out a lot of good things along the way. See, I'm never so happy as when I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. And we got to have joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. A merry heart does good like a medicine. I like that one place in Acts where Paul said, so that I might finish my course with joy. I thought about that years ago. I preached on that for a long time. If you don't have joy, you won't finish what you won't finish your course. You won't have you know, just like, and I've talked about this before. It's like exercise, you know, or diet. You know, anybody know what those are? How many know? Reading about it, you know, can give you a lot of joy. You know, I mean, if you can get excited about it. You know, I mean, I've seen people, you know, they've gotten really excited over the new exercise program. Oh, man, they've told me about it, you know. Years ago, there's one called Insanity. You may ever try that one. I heard it was really, I never tried it, but I heard it was really intense. It was called Insanity. And I knew some people that got into that one, and it's like it was an insane amount of cardio. And so, you know, so excited about it. You know, you go out and you buy the stuff for it, you know, because you got to look the part. You know what I'm saying? You know, like if you get into biking, you know, like handlebars bike, not motorcycle bike, pedal bike. You gotta buy the garb. You know, have you ever seen that? Am I the only one that ever gets out the house? You know, they'll have the helmet. You know, the clothing, whatever you want, a suit, whatever it is. You know. And all, you know, yeah, the shoes, the whole thing, you know. I used to see one guy, and he was an older guy, older than me, so he's about Kenny's age. And I thought, man, I appreciate what he was doing. You know, he's trying to lose weight, but I'm thinking, don't wear that stuff until your belly's not hanging over the seat, man. I mean, you know, have some common sense, you know. Wait till you get a little thinner before you wear something that tight. You know, all guys know this. If your belly's big, you wear big clothing. Right? You know, because you wear black all the time. What do you think Johnny Cash wore black when he got older? He put on weight. Black, you say, well, what's black got to do with it? Well, okay, fashionless people, black makes you look thinner. Some of you didn't know that. Now everybody's coming Sunday morning with black on. What have I done? Anyway, you know, but here's the thing about it. I don't care how excited you go. I don't care how excited you get over that new exercise thing. If you lose your joy, it's done. You got to maintain your joy. Amen. Well, you know, because you can start, you know, and I've done that before, you know, where you buy a piece of equipment that you're going to use for, you know, exercising, and you go buy it, you're excited, and you have joy, but then when you go to use it, it's like, oh, this stinks. And you lose your joy, and the next thing you know, it's just in the bedroom, or it's in the basement, or it's in the yard sale, or garage, or on the front porch or something. Is that the truth? How many got exercise equipment? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many got exercise equipment you bought excited and you don't even use it now? Everybody has it. Almost everybody. Sure. You know, you go to people's houses and the treadmill's got clothes draped all over it or boxes sitting on it. I'm assuming you don't take those off every time you want to go for a jog. I'm assuming they're there permanently. What happened? Well, obviously at one time you had good intentions, right? You know, I'm going to get in shape. But what happened? You lost your joy. You lose your joy. You don't finish your course. And that's what Paul said. I'm going to finish my course with joy. Hallelujah. Now, all right, let's go to 1 Chronicles 28. And, you know, there's just something about this that we were taught, and we need to pass it on to the next generation, that we were taught that, you know, you have a responsibility to fellowship with the Lord. Amen. He created us for fellowship. And when we got born again, you know, listen, we can say, well, why did God, you know, have us born again, you know, and all, and leave us here? Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things you could say, but one thing he wants is he wants fellowship out of us. He wants us to spend time with him. And it's the best time you're going to spend. And, you know, don't do all the talking. Let him give him an opportunity to speak to your heart. Right? You ever had people that they do all the talking? You say, yeah, it's me. I have a lot of things to say, Pastor. Well, you know, that kind of relationship doesn't last long. I mean, all that. No, we used to have, bless his heart, you know, this isn't critical, but it's just the truth. We used to have a guy, he doesn't live in our neighborhood any longer, but he was a nice guy. He'd go out and walk his dog, and he's retired. He doesn't realize that not everybody is. You know, and he'd go out and walk his dog, and, you know, yeah, the first time or two I'd talk to him, and then I'd go hide when I saw him. It's like, man, I don't mind talking for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but 45? I got to be going, brother. You know what I'm saying? You know, now I may talk 45 minutes, but 5 minutes at a time. You know, I don't have stamina for that. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, you understand. And, you know, you just talk about him and things. And if you mention somebody, oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like that wears thin. Yeah, I mean, you know, God wants to have fellowship with us. He just doesn't want to have our prayer list all the time. Well, God, give me this and give me that. Now, that's okay. That's got its place. But the thing of it is he wants to have an opportunity to talk back. Yeah. Well, how does he talk back? Well, you know, I'm not saying he's going to all the time. But if he wanted to, he talks back in that still small voice. Anybody ever had that to happen? Where the Lord told you something and you knew it was God and it came to pass? Yeah. Well, you got to give him the opportunity to do that, right? You can't just, you know. All right, take up all the conversation, right? Is that right? So we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way in the natural, right? I mean, we won't be that way. Well, all right. Maybe I'm wrong. I learned that as a trick. I learned if you can get somebody talking, you know, if you're doing business with somebody, this is just kind of a sneaky little trick. I learned if you get them talking about themselves and they think you're interested, they'll just about do anything for you. Oh, yeah, man. I was putting sod down in the house one time back in 2004 or something like that. We built a house and we were going to put sod in, you know, and they come out there, the telephone guys, on just, you know, they just laid the wire on top of the ground, you know, and then they're going to come back and bury it. Well, I knew my sod was coming in like a couple of weeks, and I didn't want to put my sod down and then them come out and dig my yard up and bury it. So I actually got the number of the company that did the burying for the telephone company, and I called them. And the guy said, oh, no. He said, no, we can't get there for 2 months. No way. You know, he was kind of just curtain short about, no, it'd be 2 months. I said, well, you know, listen, I'm getting sod put in a couple of weeks, and I don't want my sod dug up. No, I can't get to it for 2 months. And then I said, well, you know, I appreciate you trying, you know, and I said something to him personally, asking him a personal question about himself and all, and he starts talking to me about himself and, you know, the family and, you know, the grandkids and the dog and the cat and, you know what I'm talking about, that whole thing. He just went off on me. And then I got ready to hang up. He said, I'll have somebody out there next week. I thought, well, all right. We learned that a long time ago. If the first person doesn't respond, we'll hang up and find somebody else. Because there's always somebody can do it. Hallelujah. And if you let them talk, man, talk about themselves. Well, anyway, move on. Praise God. They'll just do anything for you. Amen. Norville Hayes said this one time. He said, you know, you look at the Bible. I thought about this. He said, there's not any place in the Bible where somebody worshiped the Lord that the Lord didn't give them what they asked for. I thought, oh, that's interesting. All right, praise God. Moving right along, amen. But I thought that was good. Yeah, and I thought, yeah, that's true. There's a place in the Bible where they came and worshiped Jesus and fell down and worshiped Him. They always got healed or something. Amen. Fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Are you 1 Chronicles 29? Look at verse, 28. Let's go to chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. And this is David, and he's getting ready to die, and he's giving his last instructions to his son Solomon, who's taking his place as king. And in verse 9 he said, and thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. I thought, isn't that something? Here are some of David's last words to his son, and the thing he counsels him is know God. No God. I mean, this is an older man passing the torch to a younger man, and the advice he gives is no God. Well, how do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them, right? You fellowship with them. You know, have you ever met somebody? I mean, I was thinking about a friend of mine that I really like, and we're very dear friend of mine. I'd do anything for him. But when I first met him, I didn't like him that well. I thought, I don't know me and this guy's ever going to be friends, you know. He was disinterested, and so I thought, well, I'm disinterested. But, you know, once we spent a little time together and got to know one another, we really, in a scriptural way, we fell in love with one another. But, you know, at first it's like, I don't know, you know. Well, you know, see, that's why, You got to get to know people before you marry people. How about that? No, don't look at me that way. I've had that where they've come in, and I met this guy over the weekend, I'm going to marry him, Pastor. What do you think? I think you're going to get divorced in about 3 months after he beats the living fire out of you because you don't know him. That's straight preaching, but I've seen it. You know, it's like, because we get so spiritual sometimes that we think that, you know, God's just going to make everything work out. No, He's not going to make your bad choices work out. You're going to have to work that out yourself. You have to repent. He'll help you. But why even get that? See, how do you get to know somebody by fellowshipping with them. Amen. Till you get to know them, see? Once you know somebody well enough, you know their likes, their dislikes, you know what they'll do. You know whether they got integrity or they don't have integrity. I've met people before, the first time I met them, I didn't like them. And I have to love them because, you know, but there's a difference between like and love. And I thought, I don't even like you, you know. But then I got to know them and I thought, you know, I do like them. But I had to get to know them. And there's people that I've met that I thought, I really like you. And I got to know them, I don't even like you. After I get to know you, I don't like you. I love you. I'll be friendly, say hi. Won't walk on the other side of the street, but I don't really want to have a relationship with you. See, this doesn't go well in the pat me on the back church. Amen. We're called to love everybody, not like everybody. Right? Let's leave that alone. Praise God. So, if we're going to know God, how many know we got a fellowship with Him? Right. Now, I love this verse. This is out of the book of Psalm, It's the King James says, the secret of the Lord is with those that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. But listen to the Amplified. It says, this is Psalm 25:14, the secret, and it has in parentheses, the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear Him, revere and worship Him, and He will show them His covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Now, I like that. The sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have those who fear Him. So, and literally that word secret, it in some translation, one translation I saw today, it actually says the fellowship of the Lord have those that fear Him. In other words, God wants us to have sweet, satisfying fellowship, companionship, and He starts revealing things to us. Amen. You just don't tell everybody everything about you, right? There's some things you reserve for just people that you're close to. God's got secrets He wants to share with us. But we got to spend time with Him to get it. You got to be hungry. And when you're hungry for God, you fellowship with Him, He'll start revealing things to you. And they're good. They're secret. What do you mean they're secret? They're revelation from His Word. Hallelujah. He's got things that He reserves for those that are close to Him. Amen. You know, I've got friends that we're close. They come to my house. They get in my refrigerator. One of them eats my candy. Two of them eat my candy. One of them, if I've got old candy, I set it out where he's going to sit so he'll eat it. His initials are Jerry Hagman. But anyway, that's because we've known one another for a long time, see. And it'll go back a lot of years. But just honestly, if I wouldn't get upset, but I just think that's kind of weird if, open the door for a stranger and they're coming in, to try to sell me life insurance or something, the next thing I know they're getting in my refrigerator. I'm going to think that's a little forward, wouldn't you? You want something to drink, it's all right, I don't care, but it's just kind of strange the way you're doing it because we don't have that intimacy.
Yeah. Right.
Right? And so, and I do the same thing at his house. If I'm over there, if I want something, I'll just go get it. Amen. He hides the good stuff, but, whatever's left, I'll get it. It's like these Tootsie Rolls are like 6 years old or something. I don't know. Anyway, go to Acts chapter 3. Come on, did you get something tonight? Well, a few of you did. I'm sorry, but I'm doing my best. Acts chapter 3. Let's go there. Maybe you think I'm being a little silly tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, this right here will save your bacon. This right here is one of the most important things to do. And I'm glad we were taught that this is number one priority. Right. My natural life's not my number one priority. Right. My spiritual life's my number one priority. Right. One of these days I'm going to die if the Lord doesn't come back and all that natural stuff is gone. You understand that? You can put anything in my casket you want to, but it's not leaving the earth. It's staying behind. You can put all my money in there, all my jewelry in there, all my clothes, but it doesn't matter. I don't want that. I want you to take everything. You know, leave me decent with a suit on, but take everything else. Don't enshrine it. Give it away. Let somebody use it. Yeah, a friend of mine, he passed on. A preacher friend of mine, he passed on. He was older, and he passed on. And his wife gave me all of his sport coats. I didn't think it was... it's because I know... she wanted them still operating in the ministry. Now, I reached in there and there's Tic Tacs in there. I didn't eat those, but, I thought, I don't know how long he's had those in there, but anyway. And she told me, you'll probably find Tic Tacs in the pockets. I did, all right. Well, he was a precious friend of mine. you know, very precious friend of mine, went to heaven, you know. And, you know, his wife is like, you know, she didn't enshrine it. She says, this needs to be used. And so, you know, put it in the ministry. So I don't have any of those jackets any longer. That was years ago. But, man, I preached in those things just like he preached in those things. Hallelujah. And I'm sure if he could look down from heaven and see, praise God, my sport coach was still preaching. That's the way I feel about it. You know, see, all this natural stuff that sometimes seems so important, it's all going to vanish away. The only thing that's going to endure is the Word of God, the Bible says. So the things that we do in the Spirit, you know, right? See, it's kind of like, you know, we don't realize, but we're actually building for our future right now. Eternity. And we can get so, and I'm not accusing you, but I'm just saying people can get so caught up in the natural that they forget that the spirit life's more important. It's more important for me to spend time with God than it is to change the oil in my truck. It's not that I can't do both, but if I have to make a choice, I need to put my priorities right. And it seems like sometimes, and now I have to fight the same fight you fight, sometimes life seems like it wants to push everything out. It wants to push God out. It wants to push the things of God out. And like, if we've got time, we'll get to that. But that's not the way we're supposed to do it. That's supposed to be first. And if we got time, we'll get to the rest of it. I'm not telling you now. I'm not telling you. Don't tell your wife I'm not going to work for the next week. I'm going to fellowship with God. No, God said, God, if you fellowship with Him enough, He'll tell you you don't work, you don't eat. So you do things that you have to do, but we don't let life so overtake us and push us out that we don't have time for God. Now, parents, you can do what you want to, but if you're going to let your kids play every sport known to mankind, you're probably not going to have much time. Tell them, pick one. Quiet on that. But, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, don't let life push God out. Fellowship time with Him. Don't let it push it out. Push back. Because it will. The devil will see to it. If he thinks he can work some things up to rob you, because he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. If he can rob you of your time with God, he'll come up with something all the time. The yard needs no mowed. Yeah, the yard needs mowed, but it'll still be there tomorrow. Amen. Mine needs mowed right now, but it's all right. It's need mowed before. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's not that we don't do the natural things. It's just that we don't let them push God out. Our time with Him. That's the most important thing. Amen. Did I tell you to go to Acts? Acts chapter 3. We'll close right here. Verse 19. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when or so that times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Anybody need some times of refreshing every now and then? Sure. I like the Amplified Bible here. It says something like this, where the King James says, "Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The Amplified Bible says, "Recovery from the effects of heat, of reviving, of fresh air." The recovery from the effects of heat, of reviving, of fresh air. Boy, I understand that, because sometimes the heat is on. But you go in there and get in the presence of God, and it's refreshing. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's recovery time. We all need that. Amen. That recovery time. Well, thank God for it. We can go in there, and I like, you know, like I said, Exodus 16 says that God gave them manna daily, a certain rate. They would go out to gather a certain rate. Every day, manna came down from heaven. And that's the way it is supposed to be in our life. Every day, God wants to feed us manna from heaven. Hallelujah. And, you know, it may not... I'm not saying that every day you're going to be spending hours and hours in prayer and so forth, but, you know, you need to take the time to get refreshed. Get your joy tank filled up. Hallelujah. Don't just faith it. Well, I'm a faith guy. I'm just believing God. Well, no, God said you got to do some things. It's like in our early days of faith, we tried a lot of things by faith that were just stupid. Everybody say stupid. You know, you can be from Pike County and still do stupid things. But I had a friend, you know, he's going to believe God to keep his gas tank full. He said, I can't believe that. No, I'm not making this up. So he took a handkerchief, I think it was, and taped it over the gas gauge. Guess what happened? How did you know? He ran out of gas. You know why he ran out of gas? Because there's gas stations all over the place, and God said, stick the nozzle in, dummy, and fill it up. Right? See, what happened? He didn't fill up. He didn't refuel. And God is not going to cover for our ignorance.
Come on.
Stupidity. Really not ignorance. He knew what would happen. It's called stupid. Right? And so we had to learn a lot of things. Well, a lot of people, well, God, I'm just trusting God. No, you need to fill up.
Come on.
Right. I'm just believing God for joy. Well, that's good, but are you doing anything to fill up your tank?
Right.
Pastor, I'm just believing that I'll come out of this and have refreshing. Yeah, but are you doing anything to fill up your tank? See, listen, things are real. I mean, people fight oppression, depression. I understand that. But you have to fill your tank up. Not everything's a demon. Some of it's just us. We're just not doing what we need to do. Amen. Yeah, I got that donut demon, Pastor. Every time I see a donut, I can't help it. No, you don't need a donut demon cast out of you. You need discipline. Yeah. You would be surprised what we've had to deal with, not in this church, but just years back. Some of the dumb things, you know. Everything was a demon. We went to that phrase. Everything was a demon, you know. Flat tire demon. Dead battery demon. No, it's called a nail. Right? See, we can't expect God to give us something that we're not seeking. If we need joy, we need to seek joy. And we seek joy by fellowshipping with Him.
Amen.
Amen. See, sometimes people will come to me as pastor and say, Pastor, I'm depressed. Can you help me? Yes, I can. Now, we pray for you. Because, you know, there is a spirit that attacks people. I understand that. Heaviness. I get that. I get that. I understand that. And that we can deal with that. But what we can't do for you is this. We can't make you drink of the Spirit. You have to do that yourself. What am I saying? We can't make you fellowship with God and get refilled. Because no matter what we do to any kind of demon, if you don't fill yourself up, it's not going to last. Right? And what Jesus said, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he goes through dry places, speaking rest, finds none, says, I'm going to go back to my house, which I came out. See? And he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. They haven't filled up the house. So what happens? Well, that means he just moves back in. See, so we can't do that part for you. You got to do that part yourself. You got to. If you're fighting oppression, you're fighting depression, sure, be glad to pray for you. But there's a side of this that only you can do, and that's go fill up.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.